You know, as we are continuing here in this series, Knowing, Understanding, and Possessing Your Inheritance. And today is part four. Now, last week, part two encompassed two sermons, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so we made that part two and part three. And this is part four. You know, I was thinking this morning praying about this. You know, all these series, you know, so many series out there. And I've shared with you before how that at times I kind of feel like it's overkill, like it's too much. And that the Lord's impressed upon me, no, that it's not too much. Well, today, you know, I'm praying about this, not, oh God, it's too much. But He helped me understand why there are so many teaching series that I do, that He gives to me. And why some of these series take so long. It's because during the course of some of these teaching series, you actually have to undo a lot of wrong doctrine and explain why. I mean, think for a minute about that series on eternal security. I mean, that was 16 sermons. And a lot of the information that was covered, a lot of what was taught in that series, if it hadn't been for wrong doctrines relative to eternal security, we'd have never taught it. I'd have never had to go through it. But because of so much misinterpretation of Scripture, we had to go back and correct the misinterpretations so that we could go forward in what God wanted to do. Same thing with the prosperity series. I mean, it was 44 sermons long. 44 sermons on one topic. But if you remember that series, we had to undo a lot of misinterpretation of Scripture before we could actually get to the fullness of what God wanted us to see in His Word. Now, a lot of the series have been like that. The series on generational curses. The first few messages. In fact, that series, you know, when you think about this, a lot of the things that are taught, really, if it weren't for wrong doctrine, we wouldn't have to teach them. Think about this. A lot of them. Well, this whole thing about the inheritance, this really does fit right in this as well. How that there are a lot of Christians that are going to tell you that you don't have what the Bible says that you have. That you can't access what the Bible says that you can access. That and this is misinterpreted. Remember we shared how that a lot of people, when you talk about the inheritance that we have in God, you know, what is this inheritance, what comes with it, and so on and so forth. And that a lot of people teach that if you want to receive a particular blessing from God, that you have to put an offering in the offering plate before you can get that blessing. But then when you find out that that blessing is actually a part of the inheritance, you know, something doesn't make any sense here. Why should I have to pay for my inheritance? And we talked about that. You can't buy your inheritance. An inheritance is something that is given to you from the person who originally owned it. It's not for sale. So for me to stand up and teach somebody that in order for you to access, and one of the things that we've seen is that healing is a part of our inheritance. We covered a whole lot of these things last time in the message concerning the fact that our inheritance is documented. Healing's a part of our inheritance. Therefore, if I've inherited healing, if I have inherited healing, it's mine. Whether I appropriate it or not is a whole other story. But if I've inherited it, it is mine. I don't have to give an offering to get healed. But what do you hear on television? What do you? I mean, and that's just television, just one example. Where these preachers stand up and they start telling you how they feel a healing anointing, and for the remainder of the next 30 minutes, there's a healing anointing, and if you will call and make your pledge, and that healing is going to be released into your life and into your body and into your children. It's a lie. I'm just going to, that's what it is. It is a lie to tell somebody they have to put money in an offering plate to get a healing that's already been provided for us through Jesus Christ as our inheritance. And that's just one example. But you hear these kind of things over and over again. So this is misinformation. And it's misleading. Listen, how much of an offering do I have to keep giving? If I give in that offering and then I don't get my healing, where's the problem? Well, it must be you. You didn't believe. Now, hold on. Hold on, brother preacher man. You said there was an anointing on the offering, not on my belief. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't have put the money in the plate. You understand what I'm saying? So don't tell me that it's because I didn't believe. I did what you said I believed. Now, where's my healing? Why, we need to do another offering? Is that it? You see what I'm getting at? You can't buy your inheritance. Now, what we want to talk about today is preparing to live in our inheritance. And this is where we're going to start in Joshua. Remember I shared with you how that I was reading in Joshua at the... Actually, God took me to the end of Joshua and then began to show me some things and parallel examples, if you will, as to how this fits into us regarding our inheritance. And I'll just say this as far as the inheritance is concerned. If you're going to live in your inheritance... Let me rephrase it like this. For every new level of inheritance you live in, there has to be a new level of leadership in your life. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm following Jesus. Now, are you? Well, sure I am. Are you living in the fullness of your inheritance? Well, not yet, Brother Martin. That takes time. I thought you said you're following Jesus. Well, I am following Jesus. Then where's your inheritance? That takes time. Jesus is pretty slow, isn't he? If he died to put it in your hands, why is he taking so long to cause it to manifest in your life? Or could it be it's not the problem that Jesus, it's not his problem? Could it be you're not following his leadership as much as what you think? So for every new level of inheritance that you walk in, you're going to have to walk in a new level of leadership in your life. Let's take a look at this. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Okay, what was the land that he was leading them into? The promised land, right? Now what was the promised land? It was also referred to as their inheritance, was it not? Now, who was leading them into the promised land? Joshua. It wasn't Moses. It was Joshua. Moses led them to the brink of the promised land. Joshua led them into the promised land. Now, we're not going to get into the how comes right now as far as why Moses didn't. We know there were issues and so forth. You can read about it. But here's the point I'm getting. Moses was dead, right? That means the leadership of Moses could no longer take them any further into their inheritance. Are you seeing this? That means the only way that these people were ever going to be able to walk into their inheritance, let alone begin to start... Well, actually, the moment they stepped over into that promised land, they stepped into their inheritance. They began possessing it at that moment. It began manifesting in their lives at that moment. The only way that that was going to happen is if all those people... All those Israelites made a decision that they were going to follow a new level of leadership. Do you see this? What if somebody had said, well, this Joshua fella, you know, I don't like the color of his beard, his robes. I don't like the way his robes hang. I mean, he doesn't wear a necktie. This guy, I do not understand. I don't believe Moses is dead. Have you seen his body? Did you go to the funeral? All we have is this Joshua fella telling us he's dead. For all we know, Joshua hogtied him somewhere, trying to take over. I knew he had a takeover spirit. They could have said, I'm not following Joshua. Would they have gotten their inheritance? No. So in order for them to begin possessing and see the manifestation of their inheritance, they had to follow a new level of leadership. Now, what happened? This is not to say nothing happened under the leadership of Moses. Under Moses, they had deliverance from Egypt, did they not? Came out of bondage. Under Moses, they experienced provision, the manna, the quail, water from the rock, and so forth. Under Moses, they received a revelation of the law, did they not? Under Moses, now listen to this, under Moses, they also received a revelation of the promised land. Remember the spies? Remember that? And they came back And they said, my goodness, it's everything that, and more. I mean, sure, truly, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at the fruit, and look at the vegetables, and look at this. It's beautiful. It's everything you could hope for. Did they not get a revelation of their inheritance, of the promised land? Sure they did. But in order for them to go beyond where they had been, they had to experience a new level of leadership. Under Joshua, what happened? And if you read the whole book of Joshua, you'll see this. But under Joshua, they went from the wilderness to the promised land. You say, well, that's very important. It is. Because they could have lived their whole life in the promised land, could they not? Some of them did. They lived and died in the promised land. Under the new level of leadership, they went from just being delivered from Egypt into the promised land. What God told them that he was going to give them. What was the promised land? Was that not God's intent all the time? Isn't that where He wanted them from the beginning? Now listen, relative to our inheritance, isn't that where God wants us? Why would He give us an inheritance and say you can't have it? That it's not an inheritance then, is it? It's a lie. Because if I've inherited it, then my name is on it. And it belongs to me. And I can access it if I know how. And I can use it in my life. Well, God said, listen, Moses, you remember the story of the burning bush, whole nine yards. Moses, you know, you go and we're going to get the people out and we're going to take them into the promised land. Land flowing with milk and honey. That was God's intent from day one, all right? But it couldn't be done under the leadership of Moses. And you know the story of how that went. So Joshua, under Joshua, they went from the wilderness to the promised land. They went from just being delivered from Egypt to taking possession of the promised land. Under Joshua, they saw the end of provision and the beginning of abundance. And boy, let that sink in. All their life, basically, I mean, these people that were passing into the promised land, they, for the most part, knew nothing but provision. The manna, the quail, and the water. That's all they had. Day after day, they'd get up, they'd get the manna, they'd eat, they'd do their thing. Come Sabbath, they'd lay off for the day, start over again the next day. They went from provision to just getting by. Remember? Every day when they gathered the manna, how much did they gather? Enough for that day, and that was it. And the day before the Sabbath, they gathered enough for that day and the Sabbath. That was it. Then every day they had to go out. Every day, more manna. Every day. And every now and then, you know, the quail. Every now and then, some water. But that's how they lived. Now listen, from paycheck to paycheck. From manna to manna. See this? Where's the next rock? We need some water. See any quail? I could use a good quail pie right about now. They went from provision to abundance. Because, now think, once they walked into the promised land, did they have to sow anything? Nothing. It was already growing and waiting for them. There was stuff growing that some of these people had never tasted in their lives. Because in the 40 years they'd wandered in that wilderness, there had been babies born. And those kids growing up in that wilderness had never tasted some of this fruit, had never tasted some of these vegetables. They didn't know what grain tasted like. They had never experienced promised land water. They went from provision to abundance. And it was there waiting for them. They went, it was the end of searching and the possessing of the promises. In other words, for 40 years, they're searching, they're wandering, they're walking, they're looking, they're hoping, are they not? Someday this is going to end. Someday, my ship's going to come in. Not in the wilderness, it ain't. You've got to keep walking. No ships in the wilderness. It was the end of searching and the possessing of the promises. See this? Couldn't have happened under the leadership of Moses. It had to be under the leadership of Joshua. And under Joshua, the revelation of the promised land became a manifestation of the promised land. No longer did they have to hope about it. No longer did they have to sit around the campfire and listen to Joshua and Caleb tell the stories. Tell us again, Uncle Joshua. Tell us, Uncle Caleb. What was it like when you went over there?
Well, I remember when we went over there.
It went from hearing the stories about it. It went from somebody reading it to them touching it, feeling it, tasting it, breathing it, drinking it, sleeping on it, waking up to it every day of their lives. But that could not have happened under the leadership of Moses. It had to happen under the leadership of Joshua. It had to happen under a new level of leadership. I want to say something that I hope this doesn't mess some people's theology. But in one manner of speaking, Joshua had his act together more than Moses. What was it that kept Moses out of the promised land? His temper. Remember that? God said, speak to the rock. Moses says, I'll do better than that. Whammo! God said, all right. Guess what, old boy? You're not going either. They had to go from a new level of from the old level of leadership to a new level of leadership if they were going to see the full manifestation of the promises that God had made to them. It wasn't that God ever revoked those promises, but it couldn't happen as long as it kept following Moses. Now, let's look at this as a parallel for Christians. Let's talk about the Moses Christian, okay? The Moses Christian is delivered from the, quote, Egypt of the sin nature. And you know, you've heard people preach on the parallel being delivered from Egypt is like the Christian being born again and coming out of the sin nature and so on and so forth. The Moses Christian is delivered from the Egypt of the sin nature. So we are born again. We're not questioning that whatsoever. The Moses Christian is living in provision. Look over in Matthew chapter 5 and leave a marker here in Joshua. But look over in Matthew chapter 5 and take a look at verse 44. Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now look at verse 45. Look closely at this. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now look here. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. What are you seeing here? What you're seeing is just and unjust, evil and good, lost and Christian, all living with the same provision. You see this? Sinner farmer and Christian farmer live next door to each other, but the sun rises on both their crops. And when it rains on both their crops. And now listen, when they get blessed, they both get blessed. So you've got Christian farmers standing up and saying, boy, I tell you what, God's blessed me. Hallelujah. Got me a bumper crop this year. Yeah, well, I happen to know the atheist that lives next door to you got the same bumper crop. So why isn't he in here praising God? And now, what I'm getting at is this. In our minds, we have become so accustomed to living, now hear this closely, to living according to the standard of provision as it exists in this nation, that we don't know what it's like to walk into the inheritance that God has promised us. And we call ourselves abundantly blessed because we got our bills paid on time. Well, for crying out loud, most of the people in this country have their bills paid on time. Not all. Do you see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to do is pull the veil of your, from off your eyes to help you see this, that most Christians are Moses Christians. We live with provision. How many times have you heard a Christian, maybe you've said this yourself, say something like, long as I got my bills paid, got food on the table, I'm happy, praise the Lord. It's all I need. Roof over my head and water from a shower. Hallelujah. You ever heard somebody say something like that? Be honest with me. You know you have. You know what that is? That is a provision mentality, not an inheritance mentality. Provision works for everybody. And this, now listen to this. The standard of provision changes when you go from country to country. Why do so many people want to come to this country? Even the people would hate it. They want to come to this. Why? Because the standard of provision is higher than where they live now. So they want to come here and experience the standard of provision. We call ourselves abundantly blessed. This nation's abundantly blessed, but all you have to do is live here. You can worship whatever kind of God you want. All you have to do is live here. We'll pay your medical bills for you. Sneak in. We'll still pay your medical bills for you. I'm not getting on a political soapbox here. What I'm saying is there is a standard of provision in this country that is higher than any other nation in this world. And we have become mentally accustomed to provision as it exists in this nation. Your inheritance is supernatural, guys. Your inheritance starts in the realm of the spirit and manifests in the realm of the natural. We've already talked about this. But the Moses Christian lives with a standard of provision. Take away your provision. Oh, let me say it like this. If all of us really understood our inheritance, we could be like Paul and understand that no matter what happens to me, my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I may not be riding in a gold-plated chariot, but I know this. If there is not a penny in the land, God will still provide for me somehow because I'm walking in my inheritance. And my inheritance supersedes the level of provision in any nation in this world. You see this? It's a whole different way of thinking. But we've been trained in this because there's so much abundance in this country. The level of provision is so high. And so we have misinterpreted that to mean we're living in the fullness of our inheritance. For crying out loud, the sinner's down the street. The guy that lives next door to you that was smoking pot and committing adultery last night, he's living in the same provision. See this? The Moses Christian has a revelation of kingdom doctrine. This revelation, though, is relative to leadership. Look in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, look in verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" Notice they didn't say the law of Moses. "For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" I'm sure Jesus did not need them telling him that they were offended. "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now look at this. Jesus says in verse 11, "What comes out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Then he says, "Every plant my heavenly Father hasn't planted shall be rooted up." Remember over in Mark chapter 4 when Jesus said the sower sows the word? A variation of that is what I'm doing right now. I'm sowing the word of God into your life. As I am giving to you the truth that God has given to us in His word, it is a planting that God is not going to uproot. See this? Jesus said, "Every plant my Father hasn't planted shall be rooted up." Put another way, every teaching that is coming out of a defiled heart, crossing those defiled lips, it is a defiled planting that is being sown into the heart of the hearer, and it is defiling that individual who is hearing it. The day is coming when that is going to be rooted up. You say, "Well, when's that going to happen?" if you die in that defiled doctrine condition, when you stand before God, you need to go back over there, not right now, but read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul talks about the fire of God's holiness is going to burn this stuff up. And some people, the only thing that's going to be left is their born-again spirit and nothing else. And Jesus is saying, these guys are teaching the commandments of men as though they were the doctrines of God. Now, the Moses Christian, relative to leadership, meaning relative to what the leadership is giving the people. Remember we talked about the inheritance? Give your offering if you want your healing to manifest. Okay? That is not kingdom doctrine. So that is a planting that is defiled. Moses Christians are going to have a revelation of kingdom doctrine. Just like the children under Moses had a revelation of the promised land. The Moses Christian will also have a revelation of kingdom inheritance. But again, this is relative to leadership. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, look here, verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You ever heard people say, well, you get what you pay for? Now, we understand that principle. But in the body of Christ, we're so often taught that you get whatever God feels like giving you. Well, why didn't I have my healing manifest? We'll pick on healing today. Why didn't my healing manifest? Well, it must not have been God's will. Hold on. I've already seen in God's Word that I have inherited healing. Whether it ever manifests in my body is not God's fault. It's my inheritance. I can access it. I just have to know how to access it. But it's still mine. And remember we talked about how that so many times when we pray, we're praying and we're asking God to give us something that He has already said in His Word is a part of our inheritance as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh God, I just need more authority. But you're seated up here with me. Oh God, I just need more power. I said you'd be filled with power after the Holy Ghost came upon you. Oh God, I just... He said, wait a minute, hold on. You just don't understand yet how to tap into what I've given to you. When you understand how to tap into what I've already given to you, you'll start experiencing the manifestation of what I said is yours. See, to God, this is a simple thing. We're the ones that complicate it. And one of the ways it gets complicated is through the leadership. Because if I am not teaching you your kingdom inheritance, then I will tell you to pray, "Oh Father, if it be thy will." And we're not going to go through this list again, this partial list of things that we've inherited through Jesus Christ, what we talked about last week. But all those things are there. We showed you in Scripture, God's Word, what we have inherited, a partial list of what we have inherited. And remember we said how it just... If you don't believe you have this inheritance, you're not going to pursue it. So if somebody stands up and teaches you that you don't have something that God says you've inherited, you're not going to pursue it. You have to come to the place that you truly believe that this is yours. So therefore, as Christians, depending upon our leadership, the people who are our teachers, our pastors, and so forth, we will have a revelation of kingdom inheritance. Moses Christians typically are living by the leadership of common sense and natural law rationale. Whatever makes sense. Here, example. Somebody offers you a job, and they're going to pay you $100,000 a year more to take this job. But it's going to require you to move 800 miles away. Now, everybody and their brother is going to tell you what?
Take the job. It's got to be God.
You pray about it, and you have no peace on the inside about leaving the church where God's put you. Well, I just don't know. Why, you fool? $100,000 a year? You don't think the devil's going to give you that, do you? And you sit and you begin to think, well, you know what? Yeah. Why would the devil give me $100,000? The devil says, you're dumber than you look, aren't you? I'll give you $1 million if it will get you out of God's will. You know why? Because he knows you'll squander that $1 million. He knows you won't use God's wisdom, because if you're out of God's will, you are not going to be able to access the fullness of God's wisdom for your life. So he knows he can give you $1 million and you might only get $250,000 worth of benefit out of it. It doesn't matter to him if he can get you off the path of God's will. So if God has told you, I want you in this church, and they say, but we'll give you $100,000 if you take this job over here, and you go to God, and God says, I didn't tell you to leave. Yeah, but God's $100,000. What are you doing? Are you walking in provision or inheritance? See this? Because when you're walking in your inheritance, you understand it's no big deal for God to sweep another $100,000, $150,000 into your life. I mean, what I'm not telling you, I'm not prophesying that kind of money into you. What I'm saying is, the Moses Christian lives according to what makes sense and natural rationale. You ever heard somebody talk about another person and they say, well, they're not acting very rationally? Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus act rationally all the time? Was it rational to step out onto the water when a storm's going on? That's not rational. Jesus, where are you going? Well, I got to catch the boat. But Jesus, look at the storm. Look at the waves. Yeah, but I got to get to the boat. Jesus, listen, that boat, it looks like it's doing okay. Let's just pray and ask for safe passage for the boat. And then tomorrow we'll get you another boat, okay? Storm will be gone by then. Doesn't that make sense, Jesus? Come on, man. You may be the Son of God, but use some common sense for crying out loud. Jesus says, I will show you inheritance sense. And boom, he takes off walking on that water.
Well, I just don't know if this is of God.
And there are so many other, you know, spit, make mud, person, you know, begins to see. I mean, Jesus did not act with common sense and natural rationale all the time. Peter, they say we need to pay some taxes. That's right, Jesus, what are we going to do? Go fishing. But Jesus, you don't know. Peter, trust me, just go fishing. First one you catch, open its mouth, look inside and take out the money and pay for you and me. Peter says, Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, Peter, when has anything I've done made any sense to you? Remember that? Remember, he's going to go back to town, and they said, but the last time you were there, they tried to kill you. And Jesus said, we got to go. And Thomas says, well, let us go and die with him. Are you seeing this? The Moses Christian lives by common sense and natural rationale, and we add Scripture to it to substantiate living that way.
But the Bible says, but you know God said, and God said, but you know God said.
Yeah, and he said I'd lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I've inherited that right.
Well, yeah, but you've got to use some common sense. You don't want to be touching everybody.
You think God didn't know about, like, AIDS before he wrote the Bible? He said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You with me? Let's stop bringing God down from the throne and making him live our level, figuratively speaking now. What about the Joshua Christian? The Joshua Christian moves from being a Christian in the world to kingdom living. You say, what's that mean? Hey, if we're all born again, we're all Christians in the world, are we not? This is where most Christians are living.
Well, we're looking for his coming.
Well, what are you doing in the meantime?
Just getting by, brother, just getting by.
Want you all to pray that I'll make it. In other words, you ever heard anybody say that? Testimony time? That's why we don't do testimony time. I'm not opening that door.
Well, y'all just, I love Jesus and I love you all. Just pray for me that I'll make it through.
We don't want to. You can go now if you want. You mean you don't know that you'll make it through? Which means you're living by common sense and natural rationale because you're trying to reason out whether or not you can make it. Did Jesus have any question about it? What'd he say? He says, no man takes my life from me. I give it. When the time is right, I'll yield it. You see this? The Joshua Christian does not just see himself as a Christian in this world. He sees himself as, an alien, you know? You want to mess with people's lives or their minds. You know, these people that think, there's life on other planets. They live among us. They walk among us. I saw their spaceship. Hey, now, I took a picture while we were out in Colorado. I guarantee you, some people I can convince them I got a picture of some UFOs. It's not. It's a reflection of lights in glass. But what I'm getting at is there's so many people out there, we are those aliens. You understand that? We are not from this world. Remember? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about that the spirit we have, we came from God. It's not the spirit of this world. So that means this body is our camouflage suit. So we can blend in and not attract attention till we start opening blind eyes. And the you with me? A Joshua Christian lives according to kingdom principles, not just as a Christian in this world. A Joshua Christian sees beyond provision into the supernatural inheritance. And it is supernatural because anything of the natural cannot produce your inheritance. It can't do it.
Oh, God blessed me.
He did. How did he do that?
Well, we invested $5,000 in this stock, and in 8 months, it jumped from being worth $5,000 to being worth $35,000. Oh, boy, God bless me. Well, I can understand he can give you wisdom how to make investments, but you need to understand that everybody who made an investment in that stock got the same return. And I'm not belittling the wisdom of God to lead us in those kinds of things, but what I'm saying is this. When you have an inheritance mentality, you understand you're going to be able to make it if there is no stock market. You understand you're going to be able to make it no matter what the conditions, no matter what's going on. It's a whole different way of perceiving things. The Joshua Christian is going to see beyond just the level of provision, the paycheck to paycheck. How are we going to pay the bills? The Joshua Christian is going to understand there is a better way. And do not misinterpret this message to think that the Joshua Christian is going to live in an 8,500 square foot house and so on. That is not what this is about. It's about understanding the inheritance that we have. A Joshua Christian doesn't just have a revelation of kingdom doctrine, but applies kingdom doctrine. You say, well, what does that mean? Okay, all the teaching that we do here about praying in the Spirit, think about it. It is a revelation of a kingdom doctrine. But until you start applying that and making that doctrine your lifestyle, you are still just a Moses Christian. You've had the revelation, but you're not having the participation. You're not acting upon this revelation that's been given to you. So, see, like I said before, you're not going to get the benefit of praying in the Spirit until you start praying in the Spirit. It just won't happen. You're not going to get the benefit of worship until you start worshiping. You're not going to get the benefit of speaking the Word of God until you start speaking it. You may know it. You may know that these things are real. You may be able to share with people what happens when you pray in the Spirit, but if you don't pray in the Spirit, you don't get the benefit. You may have heard all these teachings that I've done about worship and what it will do for you, but yet having the revelation does not mean you're getting the benefit of the revelation. The only way you get that benefit is if you start doing and applying what's heard. The Joshua Christian applies kingdom doctrine. The Joshua Christian experiences manifesting inheritance. As you grow and mature, you're going to experience more and more of that inheritance manifesting in your life. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, mom and dad, they gave me like a quarter a week for an allowance. And later on, it went up to 50 cents, okay? What I'm getting at is this. The more you mature, the more you're going to understand what to do with your inheritance. You're going to understand how to access. You're going to get more of it. Experiences manifesting inheritance. Part of that inheritance, remember we talked about, is power, access to the anointing of God. The more you mature and grow in the Lord, the more you're going to access a greater level of inherited anointing. Okay? So don't just think about material things in this. It's everything that God has set aside for us. The Joshua Christian will be living by the leadership of the life of God and the Holy Spirit. When I say the life of God, I'm talking about your born-again spirit. You're going to be living by that leadership.
Walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means, we studied this before, walk or live according to who you become in Christ and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you're going to, the Joshua Christian follows the leadership of his born-again life on the inside, as it, and it coincides then also with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But you shut the Holy Spirit out, and you guess what? You're leaving a lot of the leadership out. Why do you think Satan's fought so hard about people knowing more about the Holy Ghost? He doesn't want them to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to lead you deeper. Jesus said he came to glorify me, right? He's going to lead you into a deeper glorification of Jesus Christ. Now, for this to happen, to go from a Moses Christian to a Joshua Christian, there has to be a shift in leadership. Look back over in Joshua chapter 1. In verse 3, now, we're not going to read all of this, but God begins speaking to Joshua. And after he's said, okay, you're now the leader. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, he says, you know, every place your foot treads on, I've given it to you, like I said unto Moses. From the wilderness to the river, and he lists all these different places, to the going down of the sun, you know, this is your coast, this is your land. Nobody, verse 5, will be able to stand before you. I'll walk with you like I did with Moses. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Verse 6, be strong. Be of good courage. For unto this people, you're going to lead them into what? They'll divide the land for an inheritance. You see this? In verse 6, divide for an inheritance the land. Just like I promised. Just like I swore in the past. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Do what I tell you to do. And if you look over here in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night according that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let me paraphrase this. If you get into my word and meditate day and night, what's going to happen is it's going to change your way of thinking about things. You're going to understand a different type of leadership instead of going by what makes sense and what is common sense and what is natural rationale. And you're going to come to the place of walking in the fullness of your inheritance. A prosperous way and good success. In other words, think about this. He says, in spite of what I've been doing for you for the last 40 years, there's a better way. You've had miracle manna. Miracle quail, miracle water, miracle provision. Your shoes, your clothes didn't wear out. All these miracles have manifested. And then he says, but if you do what I tell you, you're going to have, your way will be prosperous and you have good success. Well, God, it sounds to me like we've been doing pretty good already, all these miracles you've done for us. He says, yeah, you have been doing pretty good, but there's a better way. There is an inheritance. There is a promised land that's greater than anything you've known. Don't be blinded by the miracle manna. Just because I've provided for you on a daily basis doesn't mean that this is the limit. There is more for you, and you've got to follow this direction if you want it. And he goes on, and he talks about how that, how I'm going to lead you, and so on and so forth. And verse 12, to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, now listen, you're going to have to help us with this. We know that you've got an inheritance. We know you've got part of this land that's for yours, and so on and so forth. But you're a part of the people of a whole. You're Jews in the midst of this. Even though you have your own tribes, you have to go in and help us with this. You're going to have to help us go in and take possession of this promised land. And look what they said. Verse 16. All that thou commandest will do it, and whithersoever thou sendest will go according as... Now look at this. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. In other words, you see the shift in the leadership here. In other words, they're not saying, you're not Moses. You're not anointed. They're saying, we recognize you as the person we're supposed to follow now. And it says, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Now they're speaking a blessing over him. Now look at this, verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be sent on vacation. Put to death. I mean, these guys are, they're standing there flexing their muscles. They're sharpening their swords. They're saying, don't worry, Josh. We're going to follow you like we followed Moses. Oh, and by the way, Anybody gives you a hard time?
Let us know. And we're going to take care of it for you. All right? You don't worry, Joshua. Me and the boys, we're going to do it. All right? You just lead.
That's what they're saying here. Anybody won't listen to you, we'll take care of it. They will die. Now, wait a minute. Why would they say that? What happened the last time someone got mouthy to the leader? It caused them 40 years of wandering. Yeah, Josh, the quail, the man of the water, the rock, man, that's good. We made it, all right? Clothes didn't wear out, shoes didn't wear out. That's cool, all right? We can handle that. But we ain't doing this no more. We're not listening to any more wrong doctrine. We're going to follow leadership into the fullness of our inheritance. And if we find just one person, we don't care who. If they start mouthing off like those others did 40 years ago, Josh, we're just going to kill them. We're not going to give God time to kill them. We're going to kill them. We will handle this. You see what's happening here? And then Joshua, beginning in chapter 2, he sends these two men and he says, all right, now go into the land and spy it out. Now, let me paraphrase this briefly. You can read chapter 2 later. They go into the land, they begin to spy it out. And they go into Jericho. And they get, you know, the lady, Rahab, and so on and so forth. Well, the information that's given to them, is, she says, guys, you don't understand this, but we've heard what's happened. And we know that, you know, God's given this into your hand. And we know it's just a matter of time. Nobody wants to talk about this, but I'm telling you. And when you take over, remember me and my family, okay? Don't kill us. They said, well, all right. So they go back to Joshua. If you look in verse 23, it says they returned. And they came to Joshua and told him the things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. In other words, yeah, okay, sure, the giants are still there. The enemies are still there. The walled cities are still there. It's all there. But Josh, listen, they already know we're coming. All right? God has given the entire, not just Jericho. Notice they went to Jericho, but they didn't come back and say, God's given us Jericho. They came back and they said, God's given the whole thing to us. All of it. The entire promised land. It is our inheritance. What am I getting at? What I'm saying is, if you're going to have that kind of a mentality and a shift in the leadership, you've got to come to the place of understanding that all of the inheritance is yours now that God has given it to you into your hands. It is yours. And yeah, there's an enemy there, and we're going to be talking about this enemy in the warfare later on. There's an enemy there, but notice they don't say anything at all about, I don't know if we can win. They said, even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let me kind of jump ahead here. The enemy of your soul knows if you capture the vision of this, they will be the ones shaking in their boots. They will be the ones, what's it say here? Do faint because of us. They will be the ones fainting because of us because they'll understand that they can't keep us from our inheritance through wrong doctrine anymore. That we understand this is mine, I can do this. Now all I have to do is start walking step by step into it. See this? The promised land mentality is revealed in this because the people began to see beyond the provision, they began to see beyond the wilderness, they began to see beyond their deliverance from Egypt, and they began to see things. They were still in the wilderness when they developed the promised land mentality. We are still in provision. We're still in all of these other things, but we have to develop the inheritance mentality now or we don't walk into the inheritance. They acknowledged that there was a need to fight and possess the land. In Joshua 1, 12 through 18, this is where he's talking about going in and doing battle. We have to acknowledge that there is a need. They recognized their authority to possess and to own. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 22, these guys go in and they see all of this. And they came back with that conqueror mentality. It's ours. It's we're still here right now in the wilderness, but what we're looking at is ours. That means if we do what's necessary to get it, we will get it, we will have it, and we will experience it in our lives. See this? What kind of a word do you think they spread throughout the camp of Israel? Yeah, they're giants. They're still there. Big whoop. We've been there. Trust me. They told us themselves they're afraid of us. You kidding? Those guys are afraid of us? Yeah. You mean this is going to work? Yeah, it's going to work. We've been there and we've seen it. The parallel for us, look in Romans chapter 12. God's given us a hint right there in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 where he said to meditate in his word day and night so there would be a change in our perception and things and we'd walk in the fullness of what he has for us. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't just be a Christian in this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a shift in your mentality. You have to begin having a... That's why... Listen, nothing of the world is going to give you an inheritance mentality. And I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of Christian books. You can go out today and buy stacks of them. They are not going to give you an inheritance mentality. Some of them will point you away from your inheritance. There is only one book that you can fully trust, and that is God's Word right here to give you a mentality that embraces the fullness of the inheritance that God has given to us. This is the only book. And he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you go beyond just being a Christian in the world to being somebody who understands that you have an inheritance. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You understand that without any fight, there is no manifested inheritance. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Put another way, I've come that you might have life in this world and then walk in the abundance of a living inheritance. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll do it any way he can. He doesn't care if he motivates preachers to preach into your life and to sow defiled doctrine. He doesn't care. Whatever he can do to steal, kill, and destroy your inheritance, in other words, to keep you from it, that's what he's going to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, look over there real quickly. It says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why is that? Well, first off, you got to put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand, or as he says here, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse 12, he talks about the fact it's a spiritual warfare. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these things of the enemy, the various levels of Satan's kingdom. And then he goes through and he begins talking about all the spiritual armor. Why would I need it if I'm not going to fight? And for what reason am I fighting? In part, to maintain control of my inheritance. In part, to access my inheritance. Okay, capture this vision. Jericho was a walled city, was it not? Was that walled city surrounding part of their inheritance in the Promised Land? Sure it was. What did they have to do? Go in there with no weapons in the natural. Only a spiritual faith in what God had said. They had to go in and do what God told them to do, and they won a war, a battle, in a most unnatural, no common sense, no rational way. But it was theirs, was it not? Likewise with us, we've got an inheritance, and at times Satan wants to build a wall around our inheritance to keep us from it. That can mean many different things. The biggest wall that gets built is wrong doctrine and wrong belief. That is the biggest wall. Listen, I'll say it like this. Sickness can't keep you from your inheritance of healing. Wrong belief will. Because a lot of times when people get sick, that's when they kick it in with their confession for healing. So sickness by itself can't keep you from your inheritance of healing, but wrong doctrine will, because you'll be sick thinking, well, it must be God's will. God's trying to teach me something. In this shift in leadership, we're going to recognize our right to a fully manifested inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, look at this, verse 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You don't just see this as a verse in the Bible. You recognize this as a right to a fully manifested inheritance. Nothing held back. Fully manifested. You're going to have, and I will have my inheritance mentality. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth, heaven, and Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What does that mean? What it means is this, that the name of Jesus is an operational key to me possessing and seeing the manifestation of my inheritance. See this? What it means is, look, I can't be stopped. Because God's given this right to me. In Ephesians chapter 1, flip over there. We won't read the whole passage, but I want to point this out to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why do they need to be enlightened? Because right now they aren't. Enlightened to what? Enlightened to the fullness of my inheritance. What God has given to me, the rights that I have as a child of God, living in this kingdom. What is my inheritance? My eyes being enlightened. And he goes on to talk about, you know, that you would understand this hope, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. My understanding would be enlightened to see this. Then he starts talking about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What is part of the reason for this power to work? So that I can have the full manifestation of my inheritance. So I can live in it. So I can experience it and everything. And then it goes on to talk about how that Jesus was raised from the dead and he's been placed in a position far above all principality and power and might, everything that is named. He's the head over the church and the church is the body of Christ. I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Jesus is my head. That means if he's above everything, I'm above everything, which includes anything which would keep me from my inheritance. So I have to develop this mindset that I have a mentality. It's mine. I'm going to have it. I will have it. Regardless of what it takes, without this shift in leadership, there will be limited manifestation. In other words, for healing again, somebody might lay hands on you and pray for you and a healing may take place. But to live in our inheritance means I don't have to run to every evangelist tent meeting hoping somebody's going to lay hands on me and that it will work. See what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had gotten sick, who would have laid hands on him? Peter, come here. Thomas, come here. Lay hands on me.
Well, Jesus, you think this is going to work?
I doubt it, but try it anyway. Our biggest struggles in all of this going to be what we think and what we see on the inside. The imagination of the manifestation of the inheritance. If you don't begin seeing it, listen, that generation that was growing up out in the wilderness, you don't think some of them had the memory of that fruit they saw? I was only 18 at the time, but let me tell you something. I know it's there. I saw it. You know that fruit they brought back, those spies, before they started bellyaching? What do you think they did with that? Think maybe they might have eaten it?
Taste this. It's good.
And in spite of that, they still messed up. Our biggest struggles will be with what we think and what we perceive and see on the inside. As far as a manifestation of this inheritance. If we do not have a shift in leadership, as I've explained today, the manifestation is going to be limited. With every new level of manifested inheritance, there has to be a new level, call it an increased level of us following the leadership of God as He takes us into that manifestation.